Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your turn to cause trouble. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. So yesterday, and we could keep your, you know, keep calling with the Rodgers stuff or really whatever it is you want to discuss on this Thursday morning. I really don't care. You want to talk about the garbage stuff like Marco and I just did? I'm fine with that too. I love Garbage Day. Matter of fact, I could do a remake of the Harvey Day song that I once did and make it Garbage Day. I'm sure I could come up with some lyrics for that. And what do you hear the rap song I actually wrote when I do decide to let that out? Anyway, Shohei Ohtani is going to be a focal point this season because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I know Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, was trying to sell the team. He has now since said, you know what, he's not going to sell the team anymore. So what type of impact is that going to have on Ohtani? Will Ohtani be traded before the season, during the season? It seems like during the season right now would be the case. And Andy Martino of SNY had excellent reporting on it where, you know, we don't know definitively what's going to happen, but Andy basically said in his story that there's no way the Mets or Yankees would trade for Shohei Ohtani in season. They both inquired about Ohtani's availability a year ago. Neither team got anywhere close. And if the Angels do decide to trade him at the deadline, both the Mets and Yankees would not, in all likelihood, would not trade their prospects. And it's going to take a lot, obviously, to get him for a guy who might be a 2 or 3 month rental. And that brings me to the next part, where we've assumed that there's a, you know, because based on what happened last time, where the free agency, you know, where it wasn't obviously a total free agency, the posting fees or whatever, when he came over from Japan, the Yankees wanted him. Yankees thought they were going to get him, and they didn't. He wanted to play on the West Coast, and that's why he went to the Angels. So he already turned down New York once. Why wouldn't he do it again? Well, the reason why he might not do it again is because Steve Cohen is in play now, and you have a player who is going to have all of the richest teams in the sport vying for his services. The Dodgers, obviously, the Mets, the Yankees. You would assume these teams are all going to be in on Ohtani once he hits the open market. And if the Mets or Yankees don't trade for him, and I don't know if the Dodgers would trade for him or if, you know, the Angels would even trade him to the Dodgers, who knows how that would work out midway through the year. But if you're Ohtani at this point, wouldn't you assume he's going to be hitting free agency? You know, it's like Judge last year. Why would you get locked up now to a long-term deal, unless you really want to be in Anaheim. But if he talks about wanting to win, he doesn't want to be locked up long-term there. But you're 6 months away from being a free agent again. You could go wherever you want for however much money you want. Get everybody involved. Even if you're not going to go to New York, you get them involved and you drive the price up with the Dodgers or whoever it may be. But you get to pick. So I would think that regardless of where he goes at the deadline, if he goes anywhere at all, he's going to hit free agency. And I've said this all along, and I will continue to say it again. I've said this for at least, you know, the last several months, maybe even dating back to last year, where if Ohtani hits the open market, there is no one that is going to outbid Steve Cohen and the Mets. Now, that doesn't mean that Ohtani's coming to the Mets. It means that the Mets will have the highest bid. If Ohtani wants the most money and a spot where he can win, the combination of the two, the Mets will be the best spot. Now, he could win other places, and he can get a lot of money other places. It will not be the highest offer. There's no way, if he hits the open market, Steve Cohen is going to be outbid. The only way the Mets would lose that is if Ohtani doesn't want to play, or he wants to play somewhere else. Like, let's say, the Yankees. Maybe he wants to play for the Pinstripes. And maybe the Yankees have a comparable offer, although I don't think anybody is going to even come close. I think the Mets offer will be significantly more than the next guy. I don't think it's going to come down to, well, the Mets offer is $5 million more than the Dodgers or $3 million more than the Yankees. No, I think the Mets offer is going to be way beyond whatever the Yankees offer. And I'm not so sure about the Dodgers, but it'll be bigger and better than the Dodgers offer. So the only way they don't get him will be if he does want to play for either the Pinstripes or stay on the West Coast. And in that case, there's nothing you could do. And if the Mets lose out on Ohtani because of that, guess what? They're going to find another star, whether it's Manny Machado, whether it's Juan Soto eventually. And that's the good thing. See, the Yankees already have star players. The Mets need to build a star-studded team. They have good players and a couple of stars, but not the way that the Yankees have been built consistently. Or even you look at the Dodgers, the way that they have been building their teams. Steve Cohen, and thankfully so, is going to be a guy who wants superstars. They missed out on Correa. They're going to go all in for Ohtani, which they're probably going to do anyway. And if they don't get him, there will be someone else. But it was a little discouraging or disheartening to read Andy's column and see that. I mean, it's not really anything that we didn't assume as far as the trade deadline stuff. Like, I did not assume the Mets were going to give up Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty to get Ohtani for a 2 or 3 month rental. But it is a little scary when you think about Ohtani potentially wanting to stay on the West Coast or even with the Angels, because that's one guy who, you know, look, now if you're a Mets fan, obviously the Yankees too, but the Yankees are going to be limited here because they already just paid Aaron Judge a mega contract, right? So, you know, I doubt the Yankees are going to be in the vicinity of the Mets in this particular case with Ohtani if he hits free agency. Plus, they already have stars, as we were saying. You want right now, if you're a Mets fan, all these guys to become available. The way that Mookie Betts was available. If that happened under Steve Cohen, the Mets might have Mookie Betts instead of the Dodgers. Any big name that becomes available, the Mets are now in play. And it's just a matter of time before they get another one or two. 877-337-6666. Jimmy is calling from Jersey City. What's up, Jimmy?
What up, my man, Sal? Hey, Sal. If I offered you season tickets to the Warriors or the Detroit Pistons, which one are you picking?
The Warriors.
Well, that's why Ohtani would pick the Yankees.
Instead of what? Oh, the Mets, you're saying? Well, if I offered you $500 million or if I offered you $300 million, which one are you taking?
Depends if how much money you need, Sal. You know, it all comes down to the bottom.
No. What do you mean it depends how much money? It's $500 million to $300 million.
I drive trucks, right? I make a great salary, right? I could have made more money for this other company, a big-time company, bigger than the one I'm with.
Right.
But I chose not to because I'm happy where I'm at. the money I make is very.
All right. So you say, let's say Ohtani doesn't want to choose the most money, right? Which the Mets are going to have. We agree on that. The Mets will offer the most money. You mentioned you compared the Warriors and Pistons, but that's really not equal because who won more games last year, the Mets or the Yankees?
The Mets.
Yeah, correct. So
who won more playoff games?
All right. Well, you see your flaw, though, right? Well, how many playoff games did the Yankees actually win?
We win three.
Right. And the Mets won one. So, I mean, you know, they won two. The Mets won 101 games in the regular season. They won a playoff game. Yankees won three playoff games. You think that that's enough to say, well, I want to go. Now, he may like the history better. I mean, that's the big difference there, Jimmy. That's what you'd selling Ohtani on. The history of the Yankees with their pinstripes and all of that. And, you know, if he knew the Yankees who are a brand worldwide growing up, that would be the selling point there. But the Mets are going to have the best offer, and they're going to have a team that compares to anybody else, just like the Yankees or Dodgers or whoever the top team
is. Hey, real quick for us, I don't lose my time yet. I guess the Dolphins must have listened to you because they're about to sign Vic Fangio to the defensive coordinator spot.
Well, they need a defense. You know that. They need to upgrade that defense.
Now, Sal, question. How come there aren't any black field goal kickers in the NFL?
I don't even know that there aren't. I mean, do we know?
I don't think there's ever been. I was going by that with some of my friends, but I'm wondering why there's never. I wonder if that's just a little thing to make you.
But I don't even know. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I remember some punters specifically. I can't recall.
Yeah, punters, yes.
Yeah, I can't recall a kicker. But I don't even know if that's like I couldn't. I'd be lying if I said I knew every kicker off the top of my head in the NFL. But yeah,
two more things.
Yeah.
Two more things, real quick, before you get to that answer later. How many times do you think Don Mattingly struck out, average?
Not a lot. I know that for sure.
38 times a year, he averaged. He was right behind Yogi Berra and DiMaggio as the all-time Yankees on strikeouts like that. That's amazing. And I saw the guy, Scott Rowland, struck out 1,100 times. Mattingly had more hits, better average and all that. Yet this guy get in. And
let's just simplify this. I'm not going to let you go yet. I'll let you say your final piece, and then we can say goodbye. Let's just simplify it. I mean, who's a better player? We watch. Forget the stats. You watch the games. Who's a better baseball player, Don Mattingly or Scott Rowland? It's not even close.
5 years stretch of the numbers that he put up. Rowland didn't even come close. It's not even close.
That's what's the shame of it.
Hey, Sal, real quick. Last night you had me laughing my ass off. Around 4:30, you had some guy, Bear, call up. I'm still laughing. You told him, you said, Bear, I don't know what area the woods you're from, because, Bear, you're lost.
I'm glad you...
I'm talking about, bro.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate you checking in. I'm glad you picked up on that. That one came to me in the moment, and I was kind of proud of it, I must say. Some guy Yeah, that was funny. Some guy who called up called himself Bear, and he didn't make any sense. He was, in fact, lost. And I'm not sure if there's a relation there, any relation to Jimmy or, no, just messing around, Jimmy. But that was funny. And I appreciate you noticing that. Rowland is, and I see some people like defending it, like, oh, if you don't think Rowland is a Hall of Fame player, you didn't watch baseball. Dude, come on. Nobody's saying that Rowland wasn't any good. Scott Rowland was very good, very good player. A very, 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 very good player. Not a Hall of Fame player. You could name easily a bunch of guys, and I've forgotten a lot of them, but you could name a bunch of guys that are better baseball players or were better baseball players than Scott Rowland, and they're not in the Hall of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame has a problem with guys that they've let in, and guys that they've kept out. So if I know, based on watching the games, that there are better players or some better players outside of the Hall of Fame than some of the guys who are put in the Hall of Fame, why would I put any stock whatsoever in what the Hall of Fame means? Not to mention that, as we said yesterday, you know, everybody focuses on the top guys and, oh, who left Beltran off their ballot and this and that. How do you have this is a real thing. Major League Baseball writers that have a vote, you have to be on the ballot, you have to be in baseball, the Baseball Writers Association for 10 years to be able to have a vote for the Hall of Fame. Three votes went to R.A. Dickey, Bronson Arroyo, and Mike Napoli. Who the hell in the world that ever watched Major League Baseball and ever watched either of those three guys play, who the hell thought that they were worthy of a single Hall of Fame vote? Like, somebody that actually has a say in this got his ballot, or their ballot, his or hers, got their ballot and checked the box for Mike Napoli to go into the Hall of Fame. Regardless of the reason for it, like, oh, he was a nice guy, or oh, I want to hope he keeps on the ballot because I like, whatever it may be. Regardless of the reason, that's unacceptable. That cannot happen. I mean, that should be, you should have your vote taken away if you vote for Mike Napoli for the Hall of Fame or Bronson Arroyo. Paul is calling from Jackson Heights. What's up, Paul?
Well, you know, I have mixed feelings about getting Ohtani. I'm a Mets fan. I don't know, it seems like they're counting too much on this guy. And, you know, I just hope there's no, like, bad luck. We get him and all of a sudden he gets hurt or something.
Yeah, but that could happen with everybody. So you don't...
I know, but it just...
Well, what don't you like about him as a player?
I think he's great. It does make me nervous that he's two ways, but if we get him, I'm just going to be in the stand cheering for him.
Yeah, well, why would it make you nervous that he's two ways?
Because every time the Mets get a Japanese player, they don't live up to it. You know, like, they always do good in the other team.
Wait, what? I thought you said you were nervous about him being a two-way player.
Yeah.
So what about
him? Also, the guy I really wanted is a guy from San Diego.
But wait a second. What does him being a two-way player have anything to do with him being from Japan?
Nothing. I was just being stupid.
Yeah, well,
Ohtani is a great player.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's one of the best players in baseball, and thanks for the call. I have no idea why you would even mention that. And you could talk about the players that the Mets have gotten from Japan prior. Nobody is on the level of Shohei Ohtani. Tsuyoshi Shinjo, Kaz Matsui. These guys were okay players, but not at the level of Shohei Ohtani. They were all famously not the most hyped Japanese players. They were secondary players. It wasn't the most hyped guy. Now, at times, remember, the Yankees would go get, let's say, Hideki Arabu, Kei Igawa. These guys were total flops for him. But obviously, Hideki Matsui was a stud. If you get the top players, Ichiro, one of the greatest players the sport has ever seen, if you get the top players from Japan, they pan out. And by the way, it's not even a question mark anymore. And we're going to see with Kodai Senga as well. I'm looking forward to watching him play for the Mets this year. I do think he's going to be an X factor. I think he's going to be better than Chris Bassett. And he may even be better. Maybe he outpitches Scherzer or Verlander. Who knows? He's got that potential to where he could be an ace. But it's not like there's an unknown with Shohei Ohtani. This is not his first time coming over. He already came over, and he's obviously had great success with the Angels. Nothing to be nervous about. Look, the Mets going after, or Yankees for that matter, going after Shohei Ohtani is a no-brainer. Just like the Jets going after Aaron Rodgers should be a no-brainer. 877-337-6666. Unless you don't like great players and you don't like enhancing your chances to win. And why would anybody not want Aaron Rodgers? You'd rather have the draft picks for what? To hope that you might one day get a player that can be a fraction of what Aaron Rodgers is? You don't want to get Ohtani because you're worried that he's going to get hurt?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Show with Al and Jerry. Be careful out there. The roads are nasty. 877-337-6666. I hate the rain. I think I'd rather deal with snow, although let me knock on wood. Be careful what you wish for. By the way, if it is going to snow, don't snow next Friday, please. I want to get out of here. Flight to Aruba, nice and early Friday morning. My wife was already texting me yesterday saying, oh, the weather looks bad Friday. Get us on the first plane out. You guys can deal with the snow. See ya. No, but all kidding aside, I don't mind the snow other than the headaches that it causes to travel. I'd rather deal with snow than the rain, though. The rain is just so miserable and wet and yucky, and nobody knows how to drive in it, without fail. It's like driving on a Sunday. Nobody knows how to drive. I never knew what a Sunday driver was. And yeah, I heard the expression when I was a kid. Sunday driver, whatever, whether it's a movie or a show, I don't even remember, or my father. And then I started to drive on Sundays. You know, as you get older and you learn the commute, and then you're driving on Sundays and you realize, I know what a Sunday driver is now. Well, Sunday drivers, that's what everybody's like in the rain. But anyway, it's nasty out there and wind and the wind and the rain, just a bad, bad mix. 877-337-6666. Look who it is. How's that Eagles defense, Bob? Bob in Bayside.
Hey, they had one stinker the whole year, basically.
Well, two against the Eagles.
They lost to the Eagles.
No, you want to throw in the Lions. I mean, that counts as they get their, you know. Are you over it yet? I noticed you take it a while. It's now Thursday morning. I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, I didn't know when you were on, Sal. I know. When are you going to Aruba? This weekend?
Next week. I'll be back next week, and then just Friday. I'm leaving Friday.
I've been there 10 times, but on cruises.
You have cruises. Any restaurants that you recommend?
I'm gonna do the. I haven't been there in a few years, but I'll do the research for.
No. You don't have to do it. If you had a spot because you've gone there before, it's no big deal.
The beach at the Renaissance Hotel is really nice to sit.
Okay.
And they have a day thing. You stay at the beach. You have lunch there. They have a very good deal.
Okay.
Anyway, remember that, the Renaissance Hotel. It's right at the edge of town.
Okay.
But anyway, the Hall of Fame has two main things they look at. One is longevity, and the other is milestones. 500 home runs, 300 wins for a pitcher.
Well, it used to be that.
No, that's what it is. If you have 500 home runs, if you have 300 wins a pitcher, you're going to get into the Hall. And
yeah, but that's not. Those are no longer the criteria. It's no longer. I know what
I don't
you're
know
saying.
Why it changed, but that's always how it's been.
Right.
Us,
no, I know what you're
years,
saying.
It's been that way.
Voting. But look at Scott Rowland. What do you have? 318 or whatever it was, or three? I don't even remember the exact number. But in the threes in home runs, why is he?
Well, I'll give you an example. Don Sutton had over 300 wins.
Right.
He was never the best pitcher.
Right. He's another one who shouldn't have been in.
He was a compiler.
He was maybe one of the first ones. You know a guy that we brought up actually off the air after our Baseball Night New York show. We were talking about today. John Harper brought him up. David Cone. Like, I think David Cone is a better pitcher, or was a better pitcher than Mike Mussina. Obviously, Don Sutton, you could throw him in there, too. And Sutton's the first name I remember being like, this guy's in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Mazeroski, talk about people, whatever. But people talk about Mazeroski.
He was a compiler, Sutton.
Yeah, so, all right. So, I mean, then, but that's
one
the point.
One more thing before you let me go.
Well, right? Do you think Rowland's a Hall of Famer or not?
He's borderline. He was a good player. But you know what the big crime is? And by the way, Mattingly, basically, if you really look at it, only had 5-6 great years in a row.
Right, but what do you value? Back.
They don't put you in for a 5-year run.
Do you value? Okay, but then forget about what they do or what they don't do. Let's talk about it as baseball fans here. Do you value 5 great years or 10 good years?
Right. I happen to agree with you on this.
So
point,
I mean, I value
you
the great
they
years.
Look at though. It's,
I know.
One more point. The big crime, if you're a Yankee fan, is Thurman Munson. 292 lifetime batting average, and he did play 11 seasons. And in the playoffs, which the Yankees were in almost every year, he had a 357 lifetime batting average in the playoffs. The man should be in the Hall.
Yeah, I mean, his name came up three times. I can't really speak to it because I haven't seen, you know, I didn't watch Thurman Munson play. I know about him, obviously. I know about the history. I didn't watch him play, so I could just look up his baseball reference numbers like everybody else and make a decision there. But, I mean, what was his, what do you have his totals there? I could look it up real quick and see. But
no, I just know he had a 292 lifetime batting average, and his playoff batting average was 357 in every playoff game he was in. The man was clutch. And
seven-time All-Star, three-time Gold Glove, Rookie of the Year, MVP.
Should be in the Hall.
Well, why isn't he? Did anybody ever explain why he's not?
There was an allusion to the fact
that drove in 100 runs three straight years and only hit, you know, he didn't even hit 20 homers. He hit 20 homers once in his career, but 3 years where he drove in 100 runs without.
That is remarkable.
I don't know if I've ever seen. I'm serious. I don't know if I've ever.
And catchers don't hit 292, you know.
And catchers offensively don't. I mean, as you know, Bob, this is a rarity here. And thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate you checking in. I can't remember. I'm sure it's happened, but I cannot remember looking at a baseball reference page that had a player that hit fewer than 20 home runs and drove in over 100 runs. I mean, that is remarkable. 3 years he did it. 75, he had 12 homers. 12 homers and had 102 RBI. And hit 318. 1976, 17 homers, 105 ribbies. Hit 302. And then in 77, 18 homers, 100 RBI, 308 batting average. Remarkable. I got to search and see if there's other players. And go figure, in 73, hit 20 homers and only had 74 RBI. Think about this. From 19, and he was an All-Star in 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 71 as well. But think about the numbers, why it's startling to see 100 ribbies for only 12 homers. So in 1974, Thurman Munson hit 13 homers and drove in 60 runs. That's normal, right? 74, 13 homers, 60 ribbies. That's normal. In 75, he hit 12 homers and drove in 102. One less homer, 62 more RBI. Unbelievable. I don't think I've ever seen that. You know, usually it's 35 and 100, 25 and 100, 32 and 100, you know, whatever, 130, especially in the steroid era, but still, minimum 25 and 100, 12, 17, and over 100. Remarkable. Carlos is calling from Houston. What's up, Carlos? Hello.
Hey, what's up, Sal?
Oh, super delay. What's on your mind, Carlos?
I'm doing all right, brother. I was calling in about the Shohei comment earlier. Regardless of the stupid comment, I was coming from the approach about the two-way player and, you know, the concern with the injury. Which, to be honest, Sal, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. First, I'm all in to go for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot lie, man. It's, you know, when he comes to the Mets, he's going to be filling in two holes, right? So he's going to be in the rotation, of course, but he's also going to give us that much-needed DH. And, man, you know, any injury that happens, although it can happen with any player, but mm-hmm. with that type of investment, that again gives us two holes. So I understand where he's coming from. It can happen with any player, but I'm not gonna lie, man. It's something that sticks with me as well.
Yeah, but you could worry about anybody then. You can't just say that, oh, well, he might get hurt. So what? Anybody could get hurt at any time. And it's not like Jacob DeGrom made, what, 10 starts or whatever it was last year? The Rangers gave him a boatload of cash. You think they were saying, well, what if he gets hurt? I mean, there's always a risk involved. So what does that mean? You shouldn't sign any player because they could get hurt? Should the Mets have not gotten Verlander? I mean, there's a difference between what happened with Correa, where they checked the physical and saw something wrong that they didn't think would hold up very long, and Shohei Ohtani, who's been hurt at times, and yeah, of course, could get hurt, but anything could happen. Anybody could get hurt.
And you're absolutely right, Sal. That's why I'm saying, I'm not saying not go after him, but, you know, I can see where the concern rises from, because a player like him, what makes him unique is that he gives us two players in one.
Right.
But in our case, with the needs that we have and up till now, especially lineup, you know, on the side of the lineup and the limited options.
Right, but
that
what's
we have
the name?
Well,
he would fill two voids. He'd be a starting pitcher in that rotation, and he's going to hit. He'll be a DH. What's the? I don't understand what the problem is. What are you worried about?
Injury have?
No, I know, but forget. And thank you for the call, Carlos. No, you can't just. So then what, though, by that logic? Why would you sign anybody? Well, an injury can happen. Why play the games? An injury might happen. Don't walk out of the dugout. An injury might happen. If you wanted to call and say, Sal, I don't feel comfortable giving DeGrom $200 million because he's been often injured, I can understand that. You can't say, well, I don't want Shohei Ohtani because an injury might happen. Yeah, it might. It might not. You don't know. You get the player and you deal with it afterward. What do you think? They're going to sign him to a 10-year deal and he's going to be hurt for, you know, 9 years? You can't worry about that stuff. It could happen with any player at any time, any injury, light, you know, a lesser injury, a significant injury. Ohtani, the last two seasons, has played over 150 games in each year. When he first came over, he had three okay years, 104 games, 106 games, and then he was hurt in 2020, he was hurt a little bit, but obviously they, you know, didn't play a full season. He played 44 games. In 2021 and 2022, it was 155 games and 157 games. And why would you worry about the injury? Just because early on he, you know, missed 60 games or so in his first couple years? If Ohtani is available, I don't care what team you are, you go get him. You do everything you can to get him, just like Aaron Rodgers. A guy like Aaron Rodgers is available. If you need a quarterback, you go get him. If a guy like Ohtani's available and you have money, you go get him. But it does seem less likely now after reading that Andy column than I thought prior. I thought the Mets, I mean, if he hits the open market, they're going to have the highest offer. I'm just not as confident as I was prior to reading that. Makes me a little nervous that he might either stay or prefer the West Coast. Who knows with Ohtani? But it's going to be fun to follow. The good news is, if it's not Ohtani, it will be somebody else for the Mets. Steve Cohen wants a superstar. Steve Cohen will pay a superstar. Just a matter of when and who they will get.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Argue about it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Got it back on the Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Whatever it is you want to discuss on this Thursday morning as we get ready for Championship Sunday. That'll be the fun thing from the weekend, and then football season is essentially over. Super Bowl, that's it. The glorified exhibition. Three games left. It's always bittersweet because I love Wild Card Weekend so much. I love the divisional round so much. It always goes so fast, just like everything else. And then before you know it, all those standalone games, both those weekends of just games galore, they go away, and then there were three. Now, look, the championship games are the best, and we got excellent matchups. That's not always the case. Excellent matchups on both sides. And usually, I would be disappointed with a potential Super Bowl matchup. I do not think there is a bad Super Bowl matchup of the bunch here. Now, I'd prefer to see Cincinnati versus the Niners or Kansas City versus the Eagles. For me, those are the two most appealing matchups. I don't want to see Niners-Chiefs again, and I don't think Bengals-Eagles does much for me. I think it's a good matchup, but I like a little juice, a little extra storyline in there. And Reed versus the Eagles is, I mean, that's great. And the Bengals versus the Niners reminds me of when I was a kid watching the Bengals and Niners in the Super Bowl. So I kind of like that too. And why not this time where the Bengals maybe could get some revenge and get over the hump? Wouldn't that be fitting? 877-337-6666. Hector calling from Washington Heights. Good morning, Hector. Nice and early.
What's up, man?
What are you doing up this early?
What do you mean, what am I doing up this early?
Well, usually you call me in 4 o'clock hour, don't you?
Well, that's when I sleep and I go to work early. But today I'm working through the night. Well, I'm wrapping it up.
Okay.
Be going to bed soon. I figured I'd hang out with you tonight.
I appreciate that. I could take all the company. I'll take all the company I could get.
But I'm cutting out a little bit before you. I'm starting to head home now. Before we get into this Ohtani nonsense, I've watched the first two Rockies so far.
Yes.
Again. Like I said, I was going to join you in the marathon. And you know what I've come away so far is, as much as all the inspirational lines that we talk about with Rocky, there are so many funny one-liners, little quick hitters.
Agreed.
That these guys just drop on you. Like, I remember right now, in part two, when Rocky's like not really into the training and stuff. Part two, when he's not into the training, and he offers Paulie a job. He's like, oh, Paulie, you want to hang around and be a part of this, be a part of the court in this fight? And Paulie, hang around to what, watch him get killed?
Yeah.
Like, no, I'll pass on that.
Yeah, you know, the one-liners, you're right, you got to pay attention, because there are some good ones in there. And did you cry like I did at the end of Rocky II?
Nah.
Oh, what's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. If you don't cry at the end of Rocky II, maybe there's something wrong with me, as a matter of fact. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I told you, I cried at Rocky IV when I saw it as a kid in the theaters.
Right. But not as an adult. I cried at Rocky II as a 43-year-old adult watching it on my iPad in my basement last weekend.
I know. I heard you say that yesterday. I don't know. It didn't make me cry, though.
I think I need to see a therapist at some point soon, potentially. You know what I mean?
Well, listen. I think I need to see a therapist. So, you know, maybe I didn't cry for that. But
yeah, well, you need help with anger issues. I may be crying at Rocky too, but I'm not throwing water bottles at Citi Field.
Well, listen, I think that's real, Sal. You know, you're crying about a movie. I'm crying about, it's a game, but, you know.
I'm crying about a movie that touched my heart. You're throwing water bottles about a team that couldn't give a crap less about you. What do you mean? You get so angry. That's not, like my mother would say, it's just a game. It's just a game, Hector. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Otani. I don't even know why we're talking about this guy. Like, it frustrates me that we're even talking about something that cannot happen no time soon. Because I'd rather be talking about, you know, I'd rather be more excited about this season coming up than talking about what may or may not happen in 2023 offseason or even at the trade deadline. Like, yeah, we'll talk about the trade deadline when we get closer. But, you know, my buddy Carlos, that I heard call earlier, and I kind of understand what he's saying. You know, you're right in that anybody can get hurt. And if you're going to think about that, you know, why would you sign anybody? Why play the game?
Mm-hmm.
But I think his point, what he's trying to make is, that we would be counting on Otani to fill two spots. So, like, if he gets hurt, that's two spots that are now you having to fill, as opposed to if a regular player gets hurt. You know, a pitcher gets hurt, you go look for the pitcher. You fill it. You fill that up. A hitter gets hurt, you know, whatever. A position player gets hurt, you find somebody to fill that position. Usually you have somebody on the bench, maybe not as good, but that can fill in for a couple of games or whatever, a week or two. But if somebody like Otani goes down, now you need to find a pitcher and you need to find a hitter.
Understood. I understand that. But still, would that prevent you from signing him?
Oh, no. It wouldn't prevent me from signing him at the same time.
And also, though, you also remember on the good side, if he stays healthy, which he's done the last two seasons, it takes one player to fill two spots.
No, it's a great thing. Yeah. It absolutely is. Did he have Tommy John surgery or no?
I honestly don't remember. He might have, but he didn't miss that much time.
Because I remember he did get hurt when he first came over.
No? Right.
Like, he missed some time. So I wonder if he got Tommy John, because that would scare me if he didn't. If he did, then, you know, we know he's good on that for a little while. So that would be more, you know, you put me more at ease. But I also do wonder, man, how many of these contracts are going to give out? You know, it's crazy. The amount of money that people are talking about that he's going to get. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, yeah, I know it's not my money. Steve Cohen has billions, blah, 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 blah. But I still do wonder how much of that are we going to do and how, you know, how conducive is that to really having a sustained success for a long time, you know?
Well, I think as long as he's got the you know, look, Steve Cohen has money, Hector. You know that, and thank you for the call. As always, we appreciate you checking in. As long as he's the owner, they're going to be fine. I'm just trying to read the injury history here. Sprained UCL right elbow. This was in June of 18. Elbow issue in 19. The beginning of 19. Then he had finger issue, knee issue, elbow again. I don't think he had Tommy John, but I'm not 100% certain on that. Either way, he was healthy the last 2 years. Over 150 games. I think, as a matter of fact, over 155, whatever it was. I had it up before. Injuries can happen. Like, it's just a foolish thing to talk about at this point. He did have Tommy John. What year, please, did he have it?
Looks like late 2018. That's why he did not pitch in 2019. He only hit.
Ah, okay, there you go. That makes sense now. Right, so, but even in his scenario where, well, you lose two players. Well, no, not really. He didn't pitch because of the Tommy John, but he could hit. This was 2019, you said?
Yeah, and then
he played how many games that year?
Two games in 2020 as a pitcher.
Right, but he played 40 games overall as an offensive player.
Right, and he played 100 in 2019 as a hitter.
All right, let me just get
coming off of Tommy John.
Right, so he, considering the fact that he had Tommy John, he has not missed a lot of time offensively. Right?
And he missed 56 games in the season where he had Tommy John.
Right.
And he still hit .280 with 18 home runs.
That's unbelievable.
And that was his worst full season with an .848 OPS.
So, matter of fact, it's the opposite of what Carlos and Hector are saying. he could get hurt and still produce.
Right, listen, he's not going to give you the $50 million a year player, but he's still going to be a serviceable everyday player if he gets hurt.
Imagine that. A guy who has Tommy John surgery and can't pitch for you is going to hit 20 homers for you. And again, the last 2 years been healthy. Look, you can't worry about that stuff going in. It can happen. And as I keep using DeGrom as the example, because he's a guy who's been hurt the majority of the last 2 years, and you're paying him hoping he can stay healthy. And, you know, there's big risk involved there. This is the exact opposite of that. 877-337-6666. We'll get more of your calls on the other side. You know, I was thinking about this, Marco. You know, I'm going away next week to Aruba, right? Remember we talked about the beach body? Mm. Remember we were talking about, I'm afraid to take my shirt off. Well, I've been getting in better shape. Now, I'm wondering, like, should I shave my chest for the trip?
I don't know. Are you like a gorilla?
No, not like a gorilla, but, you know, it doesn't look... You know, a tank top doesn't look as nice, I don't think. I'm going nothing but tank tops. I don't know if I'm going to be shirtless. I mean, when I go in the pool, I guess I am. But tank tops the entire time, that's my goal. You maintain yourself there? You
No.
know what I mean? You don't?
No.
Never have?
My chest hair? No.
Other?
Well, my back? No. Like,
other? Let's, you do manscaping
or what? What are we doing? Again, the same thing. My mother's made a name? Like, what are we doing here?
I'm auditioning for a day part.
You're an American man. Yeah. You don't shave your chest.
Don't we talk about shaving private parts on the day part? Come on. Trying to work my way up to the day.
Yeah, no. Nobody wants to see my chest anyway, including my wife. Never mind get shaved. There's no reason.
Fleek, do you shave your chest at all? Have you ever?
No, again, you're an American man. You don't do it.
Really?
We're men. We have hair there. That's it.
There was a point when I was really in shape. I was shaving my arms, everything. Shaving my arms regularly, shaving my... Because you see more, like, muscle definition. I know it's weird, but once you get used to it, like, hair is... It's gross, long hair. It just looks like...
If I see a guy walking around with no chest hair, I'm on vacation, I expect him to be European and also wearing a Speedo.
Yeah, well, that won't be happening. I'm not, in fact, going to wear a Speedo. But I do think, how about just like trimming it a little bit so it's not all like all over the place?
Again, I'm concerned that you're a little bit of a gorilla. No, I don't have that. I mean, I have chest hair, but not to the point where I'm worried about it all over the place. Where the hell is it going?
Yeah, how unruly could it be that trimming it would make that big of a difference?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't look like your beard, right? If you grow, how often do you shave your beard?
Trim it?
Yeah.
I should do it a couple times a week. How often do I normally do it? Probably once every 3 weeks.
All right, but still you maintain it because why? If you don't do that, it's going to kind of grow and go everywhere. You know, like Dove's beard, right? His beard a lot of times goes everywhere.
Yeah.
That's so different, though, comparing beard to chest. You can't do it.
No, but chest...
The beard's part of the overall presentation.
I'm telling you, neither of you have ever shaved your chest before?
No.
Come on. You got to shave it. It makes
who am
a big
I doing
difference.
This for, Sal?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, who am I doing it for?
I don't know. Talk to your wife. My wife hates me. We're good.
My wife wouldn't know if my chest was shaved or not.
I was going to say, what are we doing?
What are you kidding me?
My chest hair is always like naturally falling out. Like when I'm in the shower, it's just like going everywhere. So it's just kind of naturally kept itself in a reasonable length.
In the summer, like what about armpit? No, you just let that go?
No chance.
What?
No chance.
I've never even fathom the idea of a man shaving his armpit.
Really? And I could see if I was saying shave my legs, like I would never go to those lengths. Never.
That's where you draw the line.
I draw the line at that. Now, I don't
You're
do
shaving
my own...
your chest, your arms, and your armpits, but I your legs, that's where we're
armpits,
drawing the line.
You definitely got to maintain the armpits. And I do think you have to maintain the chest a little bit. It's okay to, I'm not saying you got to go bare, but you got to maintain it.
I mean, you want to put in a nice little design, or are you just going to...
No. You know, they make body trimmers for a reason. It's not just for...
Right.
So if you can't...
Here's the thing. Look, and I'm going to speak for myself here. When you're a fat guy, the last thing I'm worried about, okay, is what my armpit hair looks like, okay? Because my fat ass walking around without a shirt or a tank top is already enough for people to go, what the hell are you doing? They're not looking at the armpit or chest hair at this point, okay?
Could be a good point.
If anything, that's a nice distractor from or a distraction from what you don't want them to look at.
Yeah, I mean, you see a walrus come up on the beach. You worried about the whiskers on his face?
The hair's hiding
I'm pretty
the fat
sure.
in this case.
Well, that's part of the reason why I grew the beard.
Ah.
You know, you hide a couple of chins.
Yeah. right.
There's a method to the madness here.
I will say that when I let myself go, and obviously before I ever got in shape, I did not give one thought at all to shaving my chest or anything like that. Then you start to get in shape and you see little muscles and it's like, I got to clean this up a little
bit. Yeah, so instead of like rich people problems, this is like in shape people problems that I don't have.
It's going to the beach problems. I'm insecure. I mean,
apparently not. You're going to shave your chest and your armpits. No, I think you're very secure.
No, because I don't
I think you're secure.
I want to maintain. I want to look good. I think it's important.
I mean, unless your wife is complaining about the chest hair, leave it alone.
She couldn't. I honestly don't think she could care. She would care less.
I would
about
think
it.
That she should be involved in the conversation, Sal, because I feel like if she didn't like it, you would want to know that beforehand, not afterwards. You want to give more reasons?
I am going
find that out before.
I am going to ask her tomorrow in the window that I have, the hour window or so, maybe less of when I actually see her tomorrow, mm-hmm. the crossover, as I like to call it. I am going to ask her if she cares, if she thinks I should or shouldn't, if she thinks I'm less of a man because I do. I'll get her thoughts on this. I'm sure we've had this conversation before, and I don't remember what she said, and I'm sure I'm going to get yelled at for that because she's going to say, you know how I feel about this? I told you about this. I forgot. I'm sorry. Lack of sleep. I'm working the overnights. I'm sorry, but I will report back tomorrow. But I do think it's an important. It's on my list to-do list. Shave chest and maintain body. Come on. People are going to see, Marco. You're going out in public. I told you, I'm afraid to get recognized.
So you think shaving the chest hair, that's going to help you out?
And I just want to make,
you just want to make a good impression if you get recognized.
Well, that could be...
All right.
No, I didn't really
think
of it. What
makes a better impression, though? Having a hairy chest or a big fan coming over to Sal, not hearing this conversation, and just judging him like, this guy really shaved all his chest hair?
Right.
He shaved his armpit, too?
Steve at Howard Beach.
I'm really listening to this guy.
Steve at Howard Beach, who, you know, he trained me to get in shape years ago. He shaves his legs regularly. I'm like, dude, come on. You got to let the leg hair grow out.
Like, but he's acting like there are runners. There are people who are physical who do that for
swimmers
a specific
stuff,
reason.
Right.
That's a different story.
That's totally different.
Do you know why I wouldn't shave my legs? Because the maintenance. It's enough to shave my damn head every day. I don't want to shave my face every day. I don't want to maintain my legs, too, and shave my legs. It's horrible.
But your arms and your chest and your armpits, they're part of that?
Yeah, only during the summer. I think that's where you got to...
So in the winter, you hibernate with the fur.
Yeah, well, you're wearing hoodies all day long. Who cares what it looks like underneath there?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right?
I see.
And it was always, I told you, I was always, especially when I was younger and out of shape, lights off, socks on type of guy. Winter,
now apparently you're,
shave
chest,
out.
Oil it up, and let's go.
I'm working out.
Speedo.
Give me another couple of months. I'll be coming in here in tank tops.
Please.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.